He is a research scientist at the Center of Health Policy and Research at the University of Massachusetts Medical School. His research interests include the employment and health care of persons with disabilities. John received his PhD at the Heller School for Social Policy and Management at Brandeis University in 2009. John's prior work includes state administration of Medicaid, temporary assistance for needy families, food stamps, and state supplement programs. Welcome.
Good morning. And thank you, Jean and Barbara. I'll be talking about many of the same concepts that Jean and Barbara talked about, Medicaid expansion, marketplace plans, and the Medicaid buy-in program. So it was perfect background. Thank you. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Gus Adams, Peter Mosbach, Sherry Campanelli, Laura Newhall, and Phil Barrell, all of the University of Massachusetts Medical School. I have no relationships to disclose. So I'll be talking today about identifying people with disabilities under the Affordable Care Act. It's really a good news story. People with disabilities will have many more options than they had before, but the options will lead to different types of coverage. So the real challenge will be how best to identify people and get them in the most favorable coverage. And I'll be going into details, but it's the coverage that Barbara and Jean talked about, Medicaid buy-in, Medicaid expansion, categorical Medicaid, et cetera. So prior to the Affordable Care Act, the identification of people with disabilities and a disability determination was the more or less the only game in town. That was the way people got onto the Medicaid program. And it was the Social Security criteria for disability, a definition that is very much employment-based, the five-step process, an administratively heavy process that people had to go through, fill out forms, go to doctor's office, get verifications, et cetera. A lot of that will change under the Affordable Care Act, but not for everyone. The majority of people receiving Medicaid are in the categorical programs that Jean mentioned, supplemental security income recipients. And people that are needing that financial assistance will continue to go through that process. That won't change. And that is the majority of disability people with disabilities on Medicaid, about 5 million working age adults. Many people also are Social Security disability insurance recipients, the same disability determination process, and about 2 million adults on Social Security disability. And then there's a subset who are Medicaid only, people that didn't qualify for SSI or SSDI, who are in Medicaid-only programs like the Medicaid buy-in. A relatively smaller number, about a 500,000, but still a significant number. That's the group that will have the most impact under the Affordable Care Act. So the Affordable Care Act really expands access to health insurance without a disability determination. The Medicaid expansion goes up to 138% of poverty. Private plans purchased through the marketplace are subsidized between 138% and 400% of poverty. And what's different with the Affordable Care Act is the coverage behind it. Categorical eligibility for Medicaid still remains. The full Medicaid disability-based plans still remain in Medicaid, but we have these new options for the Medicaid expansion. There'll be what's called alternative benefit plans. Those can either be full Medicaid or something less than Medicaid. And here's where the twist comes in, is even though people are eligible for Medicaid, they may not get as comprehensive coverage as full Medicaid. In the marketplace, people will have plans that are defined by essential health benefits. It's a categorization of 10 services that are required under the law. So under the law, people that qualify for the Medicaid expansion, if they are medically frail, can also qualify for full Medicaid under the Medicaid expansion. So there's this new concept of medical frailty that wasn't in place before. The concept that was in place before was the SSA criteria for disability. So now we have a new concept of medical frailty. And as Barbara mentioned, 26 states are expanding Medicaid. I think I heard recently that up to 30 states will expand and potentially more to follow. So there is a big gap in coverage for those states that are not expanding Medicaid. Prior disability-based coverage also remains, so people will have an option if they meet the SSA criteria for disability-based coverage. So that's a relatively complex story, and I've tried to summarize it a bit in this chart. And the takeaway with this chart is people may be financially eligible for more than one program. So people that are less than 138% of poverty may be financially eligible for the Medicaid expansion without identifying a disability, and as Jean said, without a disability, without an asset test. People who identify as medically frail would also be eligible for the Medicaid expansion, but eligible for full Medicaid coverage, not necessarily the lesser coverage if they identify frailty. And people that meet the SSA disability criteria, if they otherwise meet the categorical requirements, would be eligible for regular state plan Medicaid. So unlike the past where people really had one option, which was the categorical Medicaid, now people will have options depending on whether they identify disability or not. People that are greater than 138% of poverty will have the marketplace plans, the private coverage that can be subsidized through the marketplaces. And if they have Medicaid buy-in coverage in their state and they're working, eligible. So the story really is lots of coverage, lots of options, and people will have to navigate through these options. So what is medical frailty? Unlike the disability determination, states will have the option to define it with some minimum requirements set by the regulations. Medical frailty must include people with disabling mental disorders, people with one ADL, people that have had a disability determination based on SSA criteria, people with chronic substance abuse disorders, and people with serious and complex medical conditions. So it's really quite a broad definition. So many people with disabilities coming into the expansion will qualify for full Medicaid if they meet these criteria. So once the ACA is implemented, or now, we'll have some parallel systems. We'll have the regular SSA criteria determination for people trying to get into the old disability-based Medicaid, and we'll have some identification of people who are medically frail or have special medical needs. The old SSA criteria, you know, steeped in law, quite a burdensome process. The new medically frail is likely to be quite flexible and based on state definitions. And really quite a big difference in terms of what the definition of disability is, or the definition of medical frailty. With the SSA determination, it's a work-based definition, but with medical frailty, it's just based on someone's need, medical need or disability need for full Medicaid coverage. So what are the implications for people with disabilities? Very much a good news story. Increased access to Medicaid coverage in those states that are expanding Medicaid, and access to either full state plan Medicaid or essential health benefits Medicaid, the other option for Medicaid. But those new options bring new decision making about coverage, whether to go through a disability determination or not, whether to identify for medically frailty. And it's important to note that there really is, these changes affect the people that are seeking health care only. People that are seeking SSDI or SSI will still go through the disability determination. And people that need waiver services or long-term care services will also go through the disability determination. So people will need a lot of information to try to make these choices, to try to land in the coverage that's most favorable to them. So people will be asking questions, and these won't be easy questions to answer. What am I financially eligible for? Am I financially eligible for the expansion? Am I financially eligible for marketplace plans? Am I financially eligible for disability-based plans? And these all overlap financially. As Jean was saying, some have asset tests, some don't have asset tests. They have different income limits. Some have income disregards for working people, some don't. So people are going to be eligible for more than one group financially. Then people will need to consider, what happens if I identify my disability? Am I likely to meet the SSA criteria? Should I go through a disability determination? Will I meet the medical frailty determination? Is that an easier, less burdensome route for me to go through? And then on the other side, what's the best coverage for me? Coverages are going to have different benefits, different costs, and people will have to be evaluating all of these different factors, financial eligibility, disability, and coverage to try to land in the most favorable group. What are the implications for states? The first one I didn't put on here, but an obvious implication is whether states are expanding their Medicaid program or not. And only 30 or so are doing that. Whether more will follow if the Affordable Care Act catches on and is more successful, it's really hard to know. But it is a very, very big difference for people with disabilities between those states that are expanding Medicaid and those that are not. Once they expand Medicaid, they have to decide on what plan they're going to provide for the people in the Medicaid expansion. Is it the full state plan Medicaid? Is it something that is actually could provide more than state plan Medicaid or something less than state plan Medicaid? And then something brand new are designing processes to identify people who are medically frail. How is that going to be done? When and how will people be identified? Is that a once-in-a-lifetime determination, or does that have a time limit on it? And will states be providing assistance to help people figure that out? Now, there's possible financial incentives that are very favorable for coverage within Medicaid's expansion. The amount of money that the federal government reimburses for that expansion is so much higher than conventional Medicaid that states really will have incentives to have people located in the Medicaid expansion group rather than the conventional disability-based group. There's just much more federal revenue coming into the state. So there's an incentive for states to very broadly define medical frailty and have more people in the expansion group than in their regular disability-based Medicaid group. They also have the option to provide full state plan coverage for their Medicaid expansion. Because the federal government is paying a lot of those costs, there's an incentive to provide more comprehensive coverage in that group rather than less comprehensive groups. A survey that Kaiser did, I believe this summer, said that 16 out of the 25 Medicaid expansion groups were looking to provide full state plan coverage in that group. So if that happens, that's a very good story and really kind of eliminates the need for people to identify disability and go through either a medical frailty determination or an SSA criteria determination, because they're going to get full state plan coverage either way. So when and how to identify people with disabilities for medically frailty? This is the big question that states are going to be grappling with, and disability advocates and others, is how do you do it, when do you do it, how burdensome is the process? CMS seems to be encouraging states to do a sort of a minimal data gathering process. I don't know that it'll go all the way to self-declaration, but certainly it doesn't look like it'll be anywhere near an SSA-type determination. But there's possibilities for what the questions on the applications will look like, whether it would be screening. And certainly because these are not work-based, it can be done through claims reviews also. So look at people's claims and figure out if they meet the criteria. The ACA, though, if you look at what's going on in the federal marketplace, it doesn't look like they're going very far or at least initially doing a very good job on this. On the application, they just have a single question to identify people with disabilities, and it's largely a long-term care ADL question. So I can imagine many people who will meet the medically frail criteria or the SSA criteria would not answer this question. So there's a real likelihood that people with disabilities are going to fall into the Medicaid, not fall in, get into the Medicaid expansion, but not get full state plan Medicaid, not be aware that this is an option. What they are encouraging states to do, though, on the back end, that once someone's in the new group, is to notify them that they may get an upgrade in coverage if they have one of these. So it seems to be streamlined process, get people coverage up front, then provide the back-end notification that if people have a special medical need or need more, that that is available and to contact them. But I think this is kind of under the radar, and I think states are so busy with getting the Affordable Care Act up that they haven't gotten deep into this, but it's a point to raise awareness and make people aware of this. The other thing is disability, the navigators. The navigators should play an important role. And again, I think the navigators are just trying to figure out how to get people on, not yet figuring out how disability will work. But hopefully in the future, that will move forward. Conclusion, overall a good news story. More people will get access, but there'll be more choice. So people, it will be more challenging to get into the right coverage group. And there'll be a ton of variation across states, so the stories will be very different in all states. And the final thing is, this is very much an evolving topic. I hope I've got, we hope we've got this right. If you all know of things that I'm not up to date with, please let me know. Thank you.